Hi, everybody, and welcome to Different Leaf, a show for new and experienced cannabis consumers. I'm Britt Smith. As of the beginning of this year, there are 38 states and territories that have legalized medical marijuana, and 20 of those have also legalized recreational weed. But thanks to the 2018 Farm Bill, marijuana's super easygoing cousin, hemp, has been completely legalized across the entire nation. And by proxy, so has the major cannabinoid that hemp produces a lot of, cannabidiol, also known as CBD. And so has a byproduct of the CBD extraction process, which people say gives them a little more of a buzz than CBD itself, called Delta 8 THC. Pretty soon after hemp and its byproducts were legalized, CBD and Delta 8 started popping up in all kinds of places, from hemp cigarettes behind the counters at the gas station to CBD-infused lotions in our local pharmacies. Over the last few years, dedicated CBD stores have even started appearing across the US, selling everything from Delta 8 gummies to glass jars of smokable hemp flower. And honestly, they feel like any other dispensary, except there's no THC to be found. The popularity of these CBD and Delta 8 products has been skyrocketing, and with every new industry comes a new generation of entrepreneurs who have now got their eyes on a massive new market of consumers. Today, we're going to talk to three young entrepreneurs who are jumping on the opportunity to serve those canna-curious consumers in the South. Victor, Matthew, and Kevin are recent graduates of Morehouse College, a historically black college university in Atlanta, Georgia. And now they're considered to be among the city's 25 under 25. After they graduated, Kevin, Matthew, and Victor co-founded a company called CannaGo, which allows residents of Metro Atlanta to use a mobile app to order completely legal hemp, CBD, and Delta 8 products delivered that same day straight to their homes. And as you can imagine, launching that kind of business in the Deep South hasn't been without its barriers.
Hey, my name is Victor with DK. I'm founder and head of product here at CannaGo.
Hey, my name is Matthew Gaffney. I'm co-founder and head of marketing here at CannaGo.
Hey, everybody. My name is Kevin Tolliver. I'm co-founder and head of engineering here at CannaGo.
Hi, so nice to meet you guys. Thank you so much for joining me. So I live most of my time in Boston, but like probably a third of the year in Atlanta, where my husband is from. So I was really, really interested to see that there was something towards the sort of hemp CBD industry that's growing in the South. I've also spent a lot of my time in Texas, and I got a lot of listeners in Texas, and I know that they are waiting for things just like what you guys are doing to expand. So how did you guys initially meet each other? Let's start there. Who wants to tell it?
We all went to Morehouse College. Ironically enough, we met at this internship interest meeting. And I got an invite on Handshake, and, you know, they were giving out free pizza. I mean, broke college students. I mean, I think that's the best way to get somebody out to anything that you want to do on campus, right?
For sure.
And so the CTO of the company, the ironically one of our advisors now, was attending, and I've been coding since I was like 15. And so I had this sales pitch of myself. Like, if I tell anybody about myself, I'm going to get two things. You're going to get my resume, but in exchange, I'm either going to get a business card or like a LinkedIn. So I went through my like 30-second high level. I was like, hi, my name is Victor. I've been coding since I was 15. I've built three different apps that ranks top, blah, 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 blah. And just kind of that entire spiel. So I told him that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. When I tell you, it was like legitimately a figment of imagination. This sounded nice. You know, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And so the way that it kind of happened was he gave me a shout out in the group of like 30 students. And Matthew and Kevin, after the thing was over, came up to me and they were like, hey, you know, we don't care what it is that you're doing. You know, we want to be a part of it. I said, why don't you meet me here next week at this time, this day? And they actually showed up. And I was like, okay, now I have something to...
I got to do something. Yeah, right. Kevin and Matthew, what was it about Victor that sort of drew you to want to work with him?
So Victor and I actually had multiple classes together, but we never really interacted for real. But I think the biggest thing for me was just the fact that he was crazy enough to want to do something like this. You know, it's not every day you meet someone who's like okay, I see all of these opportunities that the school is providing. I still want to make my own opportunity, you know? So I think that was one of the biggest things, just the fact that he was willing to take the steps towards entrepreneurship, which was something that I was always interested in. So seeing someone else wanting to do it, it's just made me want to join the team and be able to do that as well.
Nice. You guys all have that similar vibe about you, I guess. Like entrepreneurs seem to find each other. It's just a sort of energy in the room, you know? So once you guys met and started to talk about how you could work together, Matthew, tell me how you came about the idea of the Canigo app.
Yeah. Well, we all went to school in Atlanta in what's called the Atlanta University Consortium, which is a combination of a bunch of different HBCUs, Morehouse, Spelman, Clark Atlanta. And then there's other colleges in the city as well, like Georgia Tech. You have Emory, Georgia State as well. Just from being young college students, I mean, we're all pretty introverted, but we've all went to party and everything. And we kind of saw, well, Kes specifically from the Bay Area. So he had more of a close view of it than me and Victor did coming up mainly on the East Coast. But we knew there was a market for the product. People like weed.
Most people do like weed. That's true.
Exactly. But we knew there were a lot of legal stipulations we would have to go through. So we kind of came together and we were like, okay, like we know we see the demand for the product on other campuses just around the city, period. But cannabis on the THC level is illegal here. So it was like, okay, what can we do to still give people a viable product? There's a lot of people in Georgia's medicinal marijuana list, over 15,000 that don't currently have access right now. We kind of saw the problem as not being met from a statewide perspective. So we were like, okay, there's a CBD and hemp market that's starting kind of to boom down here. We're starting to see dispensaries pop up in Atlanta. None of us are from Atlanta, but my older brothers lived down here my whole life. So I'm kind of familiar with the city, and seeing dispensaries down here was a bit of a culture shock. So we all talked about it. And then we saw how many stores were like, it's like 25, 30 dispensaries in Georgia that are like staying open and making money with little to no promotion. Like none of us have heard of them before. So we were like, okay, we saw what it had with other rideshare companies and everything like that. And we just wanted to simply just create a delivery company that can just have last mile distribution of the product. And it started there, but we had a lot of fine tuning of the product in the process, a lot of product additions and things that were taken in, putting out a lot of testing that these two great guys did to get us to this point. But yeah, that's, I guess, how the idea of the product started.
That's such a clever way to think about it, because I think it's just an innovation on what folks have been doing for the hundreds of years that it's been illegal, right? Figuring out how to get people products to parts of town where you can't really get it, but the supply is low and the demand is incredibly high. Everybody at parties, especially in college parts of town, that is so smart. Oh my gosh, they want to smoke something. And in states where it's not legal, it's really not worth the risk of trying to just straight up sell weed, right? I would think that from what I know about how the police handle things down there, nowadays, especially, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of the cannabis laws down south. So do you guys drive this stuff around yourselves? Do you keep a big supply somewhere? How does this logistically work? How do you answer all of the calls for people that want you to deliver them CBD products?
So you're hearing the voice of like the single driver.
You do it all?
That's me. I'm driving all over Atlanta. I was as north as Canton, all the way south past like Union City. And so one thing I didn't realize was how vast Atlanta metro really itself is. Like once you kind of get out of Atlanta, there's like Gwinnett, there's the Cobb, there's Cobb. I mean, like it just goes on forever. And I say that because I've driven all of it.
And the traffic sucks everywhere.
Traffic is terrible. The traffic is horrible. So the way that we do the logistics right now for like just to kind of test it out and just start getting deliveries out there is, and the way that we actually inventorize all of this stuff is that we partner with local brick and mortars. So we help a lot of localized mom and pop stores, and we help virtualize their inventory. So one beautiful thing about us is that we have some stores that are like as small as 20 to like some have 400 SKUs. So we have a big majority and a huge selection from like, you know, topicals, balms, flowers, edibles. I mean, we have the whole gamut on our platform now. And we've kind of made it as easy for people and store owners. Consumers are able just to like download the app and they order product and they don't think about it. And then we think about it. And then it goes to the stores and they don't think about it, but we think about it. And then, you know, if you order product, the whole idea is, you know, by, let's say noon, you order products, by 4 o'clock, it's at your house.
That quickly? My gosh. So you guys have really just started this out. How long has it been active for?
We launched in February, and from there, we've been getting some great consumer feedback and some great adoption rates. So we did a small test run over the summer just to see if this thing was going to work. We didn't want to go through the exercise, and as well as the compliances, which I'm sure you're going to get into in the conversation. Back then, like, Apple wasn't really as fond of this. Like, we've seen kind of a huge swing in the past 6 to 8 months, honestly. But we built out a website. We saw some demand. We saw that people are willing to pay a delivery fee. People are willing. I mean, like, of course, it's been proven out with Instacart and Uber and all these things, but that's them. This is us, you know? So we had to kind of prove that out for ourselves and for our investors and for our advisors to say, hey, this is worth the entire exercise of spending 6 months of building out a mobile application and then coming back out. And I'm really happy all that work hasn't gone into vain, because to be honest with you, as we suspected, the mobile application is outperforming the website by miles, honestly.
Yeah, I downloaded the app earlier and I tried to get it to see if it would deliver certain places where I usually stay in Douglasville, which is just west of the city, maybe half an hour west. At the moment, I'm not allowed in my area. It's not being served. So I see that there's like so much potential and there's so much demand. How do you guys expect to be able to expand so that you can meet all of that demand?
Right now, we are currently kind of going through a raise. We've had some investors already come in. And the whole point of that is to help facilitate the 4 stores that we have right now, prove out some more data points, and then kind of expand bigger than that. Obviously, it's not scalable and just me being the driver.
You're doing work, though. And this is how entrepreneurs start things. It's just one person and one car. And like, everything always grows from there. You figure out a way to do it. Like, things just expand. People do kind of come towards entrepreneurs like that when you see opportunity.
Which is really powerful. Before all of this, it was just me. And I think one of the craziest things about how I even decided to be an entrepreneur was mainly because I was in school. I wasn't really that happy. And I had like $100 in my pocket. And that was like a lot of money for me. Still a lot of money to me now. Not saying like it's not. It definitely still is. And I just remember just thinking to myself, I was like, you know, something has to change. I was like 18, 19. I've been doing what everybody else wanted me to do. When am I going to start taking the path that I want? And so I remember right there and then with like the last $100 in my pocket, I just went to the Secretary of State for Georgia and I just filed an LLC. And that was it. And so I think when I got the paperwork in the mail and I opened it and it just said member, just me, and like, you know, LLC, I was like, okay, this is real, let's go. And that's kind of how my personal entrepreneurship journey kind of started, was just tired of just taking the path that I think everybody wanted me to take, and I just wasn't happy taking that path.
Wow, that's inspirational for sure.
Thank you.
I want to move a little bit into talking about the product itself, into the app and the development of the app. So, Kevin, you're the engineering guy here. Can you tell me what the process was like trying to set up this app? You said a little bit about like Apple wasn't really happy with it. What was the whole process like for you?
So honestly, it's been a journey, to say the least. So when we were first starting out, our whole plan was we're going to get this application going. We're going to have a mobile application for Android and we're going to have an iOS application. That was pretty much our goal. That was our idea. Then reality hit us. First, Android, at the time when we started, this was probably around 2020 when we first started getting ready to develop everything, getting everything pushed out. We found out neither iOS or Android, neither one of them accepted cannabis applications, anything having to do with cannabis, whether it be CBD, whether it be THC products, nothing cannabis was allowed.
At the time, like, hemp had been legalized by the Farm Bill. Even hemp was not allowed?
Hemp was not allowed either. They were very strict, and that caused us to start looking into other means of hosting our application. And that's when we decided, okay, we can just build a web application using React. So that's the way we went initially. And that was our first launch. So we were running the web application and we were converting sales on there as well. Not as many as we would hope, but we got a lot of great data from that. So we found out which products consumers liked, what was drawing consumers to our page. We also discovered from looking at that, what was the reason people weren't coming to our pages, what products don't they like. So as we began going through all of that discovery, we actually came across an article saying, hey, iOS is allowing cannabis delivery now. So perfect timing. We were able to get through our discovery and everything before actually launching our mobile application, which actually ended up really helping us in the final design of our application and what type of products we wanted to host on our application and where we wanted consumers to go as soon as they logged into the application. So now that app was messing with cannabis applications and was allowing them on their platform, we were able to submit our application to Apple. Then we faced more turmoil in doing that because Apple actually denied us probably about 7 times before it finally accepting us.
Oh, wow. You guys are persistent, though. That's exactly what you need. They're so anti-weed. I cannot believe it.
Exactly. Exactly. So the reason we were getting rejected at first was we had to include each and every single law that allowed us to sell hemp in our area. So after doing that, one thing that we were actually facing with Apple was they, for some reason, still weren't accepting us after telling them the laws. So we ended up having to kind of finesse the perfect explanation for them to allow us into the App Store. And here we are now.
Oh my gosh, the work you got to do just to get an app launched. That's ridiculous. I'm expecting that you want this to be ready for when weed is legalized, right? You want to have this as the go-to delivery app for when cannabis is federally legalized. Matthew, what are your thoughts about how this could grow?
There isn't an application or many applications like this on the East Coast to create this kind of access for people. I'm from Philadelphia originally. Pennsylvania is a state that's medicinally legal for marijuana. Jersey's recreationally now legal as well. New York is as well. But even in that, it's like night and day when you go out to the West Coast and you experience the cannabis culture out there. And I know Kev can speak to that. Even when I went to Las Vegas for my birthday last year, just going out there and seeing, like, for example, a little small man named Cars or some of these other companies out there, it was like, okay. It just really made you wonder why the experience wasn't there on the East Coast. So we want to take this to a lot of different markets. We want to really perfect and fine tune and be successful in this Atlanta market first, maximize the experience for all parties involved here, and get a lot of valuable feedback on how we can keep fine tuning our product, making the experience that we offer to our consumers better. And then hopefully just continue to keep growing and scaling. The more people's hands we can get this on, the more lives we can impact through this product, the more we're doing a good job. I mean, we get happy. I know I get happy just going on and seeing people signing up for the application randomly throughout the day or get a random order. So we're taking it all in stride.
Who was your first consumer? Who was that person that put their faith in you to deliver them something legal in the state of Georgia?
I believe our first user was it Jeff? I believe it was Jeff, right? One of our advisors.
One of your advisors at Morehouse?
We actually met him at an event at Morehouse. He just became one of our advisors. He took a particular interest. This is an event that Vic and Kev, I believe, went to. They made a really, really, really strong impression on Jeff. He really loved, like, not just what we were doing, but the personalities that Vic and Kev, they made a really, really strong impression. He's known as a guy that can make sense of the chaos with startups, tutored us, given us some tough love, told us some things you may not have wanted to hear, but needed to hear.
What did he buy? Was it flour? Was it gummies? How brave was he?
I'm thinking about having gummies and a tincture that he ordered for his wife, if I'm correct.
You guys are able to legally deliver gummies, bath bombs, like nasal inhalers, pre-rolls, eighths, but all of it is CBD and THC Delta 8 only, or THCV only, which are byproducts of the CBD extraction process. And all of these products, since the farm bill was legalized in 2018, are technically legal. So when I last went to Georgia, I went to a head shop. I just wanted to see what they had, like bongs, pipes, lighters, rolls, whatever. And the guy actually had little pots of flour. And I was like, what in the world is that? That's not weed, is it? And he said, no, of course it's not weed. I can't open it and have you smell it, but you know, it smells really good and it smokes really well. It's hemp. And I was like, I've never seen hemp flower look that good because I know the sticks and stones kind of weed that I used to smoke as a kid was probably hemp and it did not look that good. So it's pretty good looking bud. Like you guys are delivering what looks like marijuana. Victor, I guess this is a question for you. Do you ever really get scared of the cops?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think sometimes, you know, we have been doing this for a little bit. We've actually been operating for officially for like maybe this would probably be our second month out now, right? And I know what we're doing is 100% legal. We have a group chat and I sent Kevin and Matt, I delivered like 10 grams yesterday to somebody out in South Atlanta. And I opened it, I smelt it, I looked at it. And sometimes I'm just wondering like, oh my God, I don't know how, you know what I mean? We've figured out how to do this because it's like to people who smoke a lot and everything like that, they say it smells the same. It definitely does smell like the real stuff. And so sometimes like I am kind of sort of worried, but honestly, anything that the stores can legally sell, I know we can legally carry. I spent 9 months of my life going through the proper insurance, going through the proper payment processing, through the proper banks. Everybody is aware of what we're doing. We're a legitimate filed business. I mean, everything is there. I have all my paperwork in order. So even in the case that I do get pulled over or something like that happens, you know, I'm the founder of the company. I can easily explain what I'm doing. I can explain our services. Because I mean, if the state of Georgia is going to recognize what we're doing, I'm pretty sure we're pretty fine, you know? So
this is training, I guess you've got to think about as you expand for any employees that you bring on, how to deal with legal issues that might come up like that or confrontational issues with law enforcement that might come up like that. Because I imagine that it's not a quick culture to change. Not everybody is accepting of it. There may even be like neighbors who want to rat people out. But it's just him. Like, it's going to take a while to change people's minds. How have you found people have received your business?
For the most part, it has been great, honestly. Like, I mean, you know, we're in the database. We'll refresh the page. We'll see a new person has signed up. Or a lot of people are finding us organically now on Google. So Facebook, for example, like Snapchat, like their companies are being a bit more, you know, we can't 100% go out and say exactly what it is, but we can find different caveats and different ways to kind of get through to consumers. And consumers are loving it. I did a delivery at one of these colleges and he looked at me and he said, "Aren't you the founder of the company?" I said, yeah. And he said, "Oh my God, bro, like this is so cool." So yeah, consumers are loving it. Stores are absolutely loving it. Stores actually, we can't keep up with demand on the stores and we've kind of had to start putting people on waiting lists.
Wow. Because that many stores want to work with you guys?
Yeah.
Of course, because how else, like unless people want to drive to them and really they're only going to get local traffic, how else would they get their stuff out? There's nothing else like this out there, you guys. You did it.
Thank you.
You're so smart. I love seeing these inventions. I really do. So I'm excited to see you guys expand. And as the laws change, obviously, you guys are going to be able to change what the business model sort of looks like. Does this feel like it's a model that investors could involve themselves in at some point?
They're actually involving themselves now. We're tweaking the model. You know, we're learning as we go. One thing that one of my advisors told us was, you know, I don't know is a great answer to things because, you know, we don't know. I think a lot of people are turned off by like the, no shade to Uber, but like, you know, kind of the Uber-ish model, like the percentage fees that we charge them. So we're trying to figure out if we're doing like a SaaS fee or if we're doing a paper usage model, something that can just be better on margins and that can make a lot more fiscal sense and can be a bit more profitable. I think that's one of the biggest caveats. The reception that I get from investors most likely is either they're just like, Uber is going to take over this market one day, or like, I hate your Uber model. And I'm just like, okay, well,
they just like innately hate the Uber model. So they're like, forget it.
Yeah, it's just like, I hate the Uber model. In the investor front, it has been really hard too, because a lot of, I would estimate there are at least 50 to 100,000 VCs, family offices, angel investors, kind of a potpourri in the US. I think honestly, we probably have access to like maybe 5% of that because a lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people think that what we're doing is like illegal. A lot of people are turned off by Uber. So we have to like kind of look at this subsector of a subsector that actually would even invest in the CBD, hemp, cannabis, THC space. And even that sector has their own issues and qualms. So as first-time founders, I will say I've picked out a real doozy for myself. But I do think that the perfect thing about us is that we're a team that perseveres and we really believe in the vision and what we're doing. And just, you know, every single day we get a new sign up or a new order, it just better validates what it is that we're doing and how important it is that we're doing for the culture, especially being one of the first of this type in the East Coast, but specifically in the Southeast as well.
What do you guys do when you see the gas prices rising like they are at the moment? How does a company handle that sort of outlook? Because I saw them and I was driving down the street and I thought, this is what it was like when I was back in California. And that was ridiculously priced for California. But now I'm in Massachusetts and I'm getting like $3, $4, $5 a gallon. Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just going to be something I guess you guys take into account as you grow.
Yeah, the gas thing. Well, firstly, it's not going to be around forever. I do think that this is a new front. We're hoping just to ride it out. You know, luckily, since it's just me and the company combinedly can kind of help offset the cost of like a tank of gas. But no, it definitely is getting up there because I'm going to be honest with you. I put $30 in my tank yesterday and I was like, oh yeah, this is not getting me anywhere.
You have a hybrid, don't you, Vic?
I have a hybrid. Yeah, I have a hybrid.
Yeah, and your gas prices are still ridiculous.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, with $30 2 years ago, I used to be able to put $25, fill myself up and get a Snickers bar and a big gulp. So I'm just chilling. I was like, you know what? Give me the 97. It's a good day. Give me the 97 octane. Give me the supreme gas.
Well, I'm excited to see you guys expand. And I'm really excited to see how you change the culture in Georgia, honestly, because it's like normalizing it. It's destigmatizing it. It's educating people that this stuff is allowed, safe. You can enjoy it. It's an alternative to alcohol. You don't have to drink and drive because nobody needs any worse drivers in Atlanta. It's the worst place to drive in the world. Oh my gosh. It's my most hated of all places. And Kevin knows what San Francisco's like. I used to live in San Francisco too, and I still think Atlanta's worse.
San Francisco, the only reason San Francisco is bad because all of the one ways.
It's horrible out there. But you know what? They got weed. Everybody's okay. Kevin, are you excited to see how the culture changes? Because I guess you grew up in the Bay Area, so you've had a very different cannabis culture out there.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when cannabis was first legalized in the Bay because I remember it started out as medicinal and there is real lax, at least since I was an age where I could remember. I never really grew up where there was, oh, if you're caught with a little bit, you're going to jail. It's more of a fine thing out there. So kind of seeing that type of culture come out here, I recognize the trajectory that the laws are going in because this is kind of what I remember when I was younger out in the Bay. I remember things starting out medicinal, we're decriminalizing, and then it goes into more decriminalization. And then finally, you have legal cannabis. So definitely see the trajectory. So I'm real excited. Definitely excited to see the decriminalization. Hopefully with that, people can be released from jail because I know a lot of people are wrongfully incriminated for cannabis, small amounts, no intent to distribute. So really hope to see that along with the decriminalization.
Yeah, absolutely. Matthew, how do you find it on the marketing side of things to connect with? Uh-oh, I see a lot of head shaking. People don't want to work with your company.
More so than even that, it's just for all the reasons you just said a couple minutes ago, it's a heavily stigmatized market. So in having to obviously like promote a company that facilitates the use of this product, there's a lot of things like the playing field just isn't even for us. So even with like fighting and scrapping to get Facebook ads, I mean, we can't use Google PPC ads, even just like when mining for keywords or like our Instagram has gotten flagged several times for not even posting physical pictures of the plant or anything like that. We've kind of been put in a position for the last couple of years while we were developing the product where we really prioritize really the educational aspect of the plant and really just kind of prioritize just giving people the access to the information as well. It's a big task to just unvilify how the plant is seen, and being able to do that has lended a lot of people, a lot of buzz just finding out about us. We've had a really big social boom for over 20,000 followers between our Instagram and our TikTok. And one of the main reasons for that is just familiarizing people with the product. So if people look at some of these public figures or media figures, entertainment figures that use the cannabis, there's a lot of stigmas on the plant, right? Like it makes you unproductive. We do go right at a lot of those stigmas and kind of make a mockery of it, like show these wildly successful people or these people that have made great impacts in the world. And even if it's just little small series highlighting everyday users of the product, whether it's your local fireman or your local gig worker or whoever it may be, really highlighting on Angelo's spectrum and really just getting people to know that it allows people to see it in a less intimidating light if they realize that some of the terpenes that are in cannabis are in their orange peels, are in their shampoo, are in the trees that are outside that we breathe from every day, the lemons that we cook our salmon with, and all these different things. So we really just try to, we sell to a theme of familiarity when we're trying to humanize the product and nod the people. And then obviously everything with media, like even trying to like get access to platforms like Reddit and things we've had to go through, definitely a heavily, heavily stigmatized. We take pride, I take pride in promoting and just spreading the word about this, because we can each speak to it to our own personal testimony, but it's really just all about giving people access to the information and then allowing them to then be able to make the decision on themselves without being just told one side of the story.
You're not the only ones who had trouble marketing. You know, we have been shadow banned. And we're a magazine that's on sale in Whole Foods, in Sprouts, in Barnes & Noble. Like, and we get shadow banned on Instagram. Like, we're all facing it. But I think that you guys are right. Like, you see the trajectory it's going in. You see the changes that are happening. Platforms are starting to become ever so slightly more cannabis friendly, more hemp friendly. People are starting to be curious about this plant as like medicine and as an opportunity for recreation that doesn't give you a hangover. Like, there's a lot of places, I think, in the world where people are starting to evolve their view of cannabis. So I'm excited to see what you guys do over the years and to just sort of keep up with how your company grows, but more excited to get my first delivery in Douglasville one day. I will hopefully be your first out west. So thank you guys so much for joining me today. If folks want to find you online so that they don't have to, you know, wade through all of the Google issues, where is an easy place that they can actually follow you guys?
Yes. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, and on Facebook as well at Try Canago, T-R-Y, Canago, C-A-N-N-A-G-O. You can follow us if you want some nice blogs, some nice recommendations. We're working on some cooking content on our TikTok as well. We have some really nice educational blogs on our website as well, which is trycanago.com.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure to meet you all.
All right. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
A huge thanks to Victor, Kevin, and Matthew of Canago. If you're in Atlanta, make sure you download the Canago app to support this and other local Black-owned businesses in Georgia's legal hemp industry. If you're not in Atlanta, keep an eye out because these guys may well be coming to a city near you pretty soon. There are also similar CBD delivery apps out there for other big cities and regions. So remember, even if you're in a state where medical marijuana is but a fever dream, hemp is legal everywhere. So do a little research, see who's around, and get your CBD delivered straight to you. Since May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, next week we're going to have a really interesting conversation about the role of cannabis in South Asian culture with the Desi Cannabis Collective.
Even to when I go back to the motherland, in certain parts when I go visit the temples, I will see them sitting outside under the banyan tree consuming. That's how they invoke the gods, and it's still used. When we have festivals with Holi, for example, that's when the whole nation or anybody that identifies will think it's okay on this specific day to consume because we're celebrating. But my belief is if it's okay this day, it's okay every day.
Follow us on social media at Different Leaf or at @different_leaf. And I'm on social media at @BritTheBritish. Make sure you go to differentleaf.com to buy any of the issues of Different Leaf, the magazine. And you can find your nearest dispensary or bookstore near you that sells Different Leaf. That's differentleaf.com.